Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children as we gather together today to study thy word again. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray that that light will shine into our hearts today. Let our eyes be open to see. Let our ears be open to hear. And let our hearts be open to perceive what the Lord is speaking unto us, to give us understanding and encouragement. Blessed be the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are in chapter 4, and there's some part of this chapter 4 that's a continuation from chapters 2 and 3, which relates to, you know, righteousness by faith, etc., not by works. But I want to focus on one particular topic, still on the subject of faith. But let me read. I'm going to do a Bible reading of the chapter, and we'll make commentary as we go along. So this is Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 4, and I'm reading from the King James. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, well, then he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now, what does that mean that, you know, Abraham would have been able to glory if he was justified by works, but not before God? But first of all, sorry about that. First of all, we remember that God also said that, you know, anyone that glories should only glory in the Lord, not even in his riches, not in any works of righteousness. I mean, not in anything, but to glory in the Lord. Now, you might remember we talked about that, I think it must have been the first day even, in this book of Romans, that we talked about it. But there's a scripture for that in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24. You know, it was reading from verses 23 and 24, we get the full context of what the Lord is saying. Doesn't want anybody to glory in anything other than glory in the Lord. Well, we glory in God's righteousness that he imputed on us. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And I would dare say, let not even the righteous glory in his own righteousness. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. So we see that right away, no one could glory. Abraham himself couldn't have gloried in anything except by the Lord. Any glorying would not be worth anything before the Lord. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I mean, and how did he believe God? Well, he believed God in many things. We're going to talk about one aspect, you know, of that today, how that Abraham believed God, and God counted that for righteousness for him. You know, so it is important that we also should believe God. Well, let's find out the origin of this Abraham believed God and was counted for righteousness. Way back in Genesis chapter 15, we see that Abraham, you know, had a conversation with God. And the Lord was telling him a few things, you know. First thing the Lord told him was, I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward. And you know how that, you know, Abraham initially said, well, you know, but I don't have a child and all of that. We've talked about that multiple times. But here is the verse where it was his believing in God was counted for him for righteousness. It's in verse 6, but let me read this. The Lord brought him forth abroad in verse 5 and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, at that point, he believed God. See, God told him that you don't have a seed yet, but I want you to take a look at the stars. He brought him out. Check it out. He said, look at all, you know, look toward the heaven. Tell the stars if you can number them. Well, he said, that's the way that your seed will be. There will be as many as those stars. They appear to be numberless. And upon that saying, Abraham believed God. And in verse 6, we are told that he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So we see how important it is for us to believe in the word of the Lord, you know, especially the word of promise. Because this was a word of promise unto Abraham. Didn't have a child yet, but yet God said that he was going to have children as many as the stars of heaven. You know, so, and if you look at it today, it's not just, you know, national Israel that are the children of Abraham, but they are the children of Abraham, but also all who, you know, are people of faith are also children of Abraham, scripture tells us. So we'll get into that. But this is where it was told that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So the reference, you know, that the book of Romans, you know, chapter 4 here that we read was making to this verse was right here in this Genesis 15 and 6 that we just read. So he said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now we see that not only did God count Abraham's righteousness Abraham's believing in the Lord for righteousness, we see reference here to David talking about a person to whom God does not impute iniquity. We find that in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputed not iniquity. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So Paul's quoting this scripture now, and he's going to ask a question out of it. Say, this blessedness that David is talking about that causes us to say such a person is blessed and so forth. Oh, he says, going to ask a question. Say, does this blessedness, how exactly does it come? David is saying that blessed is the man that, you know, unto whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So the question that Paul is asking here is, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Is it only upon the Jews that follow the law of circumcision that this blessedness comes that David's talking about? Or does it come upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. You know, so it was his faith. It wasn't his works, but it was his faith in the word God said that he believed it and caused God to count that toward him for righteousness. Well, how then was this faith reckoned to him for righteousness? Was it reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? I remember at this point in time, Abraham wasn't circumcised, nor any one of his household yet, but the Lord had already reckoned him as righteous because he believed the word of God, you know. And in, you know, from this chapter on and many other places, you know, the Lord would, you know, would talk to Abraham about some things, would bring out some covenants and different things, you know. But at this point in time, you know, God was only beginning to engage Abraham and with his word, just the word of promise, you know. So at this point in time, Paul is asking, was this fact that God counted Abraham's faith for righteousness, was it when he was already circumcised, or was it when he was yet uncircumcised? Well, you know, without us even trying to research the scriptures, you know, Paul answers the question himself, you know, how that when Abraham was even this righteousness that was imputed unto him was even before he was given the circumcision covenant. The circumcision covenant was first mentioned to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. But we see him here in chapter 15. God's already counting him righteous. So Paul is saying that, look, the righteousness that Abraham got, was it when he was circumcised or was it before he was circumcised? And we see, according to chronological events in the Bible, you know, this, the record of God talking to him about circumcision and so forth came sometime afterward. That was in chapter 17. But here in chapter 15, God's already reckoning him righteous. So the question that Paul is answering here, he answers it himself, actually. You know, so the answer is, well, this righteousness that was imputed upon him, God did that, conferred it upon him while he was yet uncircumcised. He had not even been instructed about circumcision. So the argument that Paul would then make is, you know, because he says not in circumcision, but while he was yet in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of his circumcision later as a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he already had been yet uncircumcised. I mean, so you see, very clear argument that Paul is making here. You know, that he might be the father of all that believe, whether they be circumcised or not. You know, because the promise, you know, of him being the seed, I mean, being the father of many, was given to him, and immediately he believed. He wasn't circumcised. God counted it to him for righteousness, so that he may be the father of all those seed that God promised to him. But he got that promise, and he got that conferment of righteousness all before he was asked to be circumcised or commanded. You know, so now we see that what Paul is arguing here. He said, look, This righteousness will be imputed to even those who are not circumcised, being that Abraham got this while he was yet uncircumcised. So the argument is very clear. And he became the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also those who walk, you know, in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Powerful argument. Now, if you break it down, what he's saying is that, yes, Abraham is indeed the father of the circumcision. We know that. But he's also the father of the uncircumcision who received the kind of faith that he had before he was even circumcised. We were not based upon the law of do this or do that, or don't do that. You know. So, now he said, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. You know, it wasn't even given them. But it was through the righteousness of faith. So that promise came before, you know, even the covenant of circumcision or even other laws that were given later on. You know, so now, what does that mean? He said, well, if they which are of the law be the heirs, in other words, you receive the promise because of the law, then faith is made void and the promise is made of non-effect. Because then the law, you know, worketh the wrath of God. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. But where there is law, then there is judgment. You know, so he said, therefore, this promise is of faith. Now, he will be the heir of the world. He will be the prince. He would be the father of many nations. All these things came to him before he was even circumcised. It is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those that are under the law or of the law, which are the Jews, but to them also which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, Jews or Gentiles, saying, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed. Even God. See, Abraham believed God. Now, Paul is going to drop something in the middle of all the circumcision, law, faith, and everything. He's going to drop something really powerful here. You say, even God who quickens the dead, quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And he just dropped that about God. Now, that's not the subject here, but he dropped it anyway. But since it's here, let's consider what that, you know, what kind of encouragement that might give us. God does not bury the dead. Rather, he raises the dead. Quickeneth means make alive. So God makes the dead to be alive, you know, and he can call things that are not as though they already were. I mean, let's see how, you know, he did that at the beginning. He called forth everything as though they were. He just said, well, let there be such and such. Let there be light, and there was light. You know, and let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. And let the waters under the firmament be gathered together over here and here, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And let the, you know, let there be this and that, and let the seas bring forth. Abundantly. He was just saying it. And the things were not there yet, but as he said it as though they already were. And he would say, let the dry land appear. The dry land wasn't even there. But as soon as he said it, well, everything started happening to make that to occur, what he said. So we see that the power to create life, change, make things happen, it's in the word of God. He spoke it, and it was so. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, so that's it. That's a powerful lesson, even in the midst of all this discussion about law, faith, circumcision, etc. It's a powerful lesson that, look, the word of God carries the power to bring things alive. That's right. God quickens the dead and calls. Calling, he uses his word, call out things, you know, that are not even appearing right now, as though they're already there. You can just do that. And if we learn and, you know, get into intimacy with God, that kind of characteristic will rub off on us. You know, and we can also, you know, begin to speak things that are not even there, as though they are. Just use his word. You know, it's not, it doesn't mean that we'll be perfect at doing it the first time, but you keep on trying. You know, you do it long enough. Bible says, you know, having your exercise, I mean, your senses exercise, Hebrews 5, you know, you exercise your senses enough, you figure it out, you know. So you practice it, you just do it like God did it. Eventually, you might get it right. And once you start getting it right, you know, you keep getting it right. I mean, when Elijah was taken away from off his head, you know, the day that Elijah was taken, he saw Elijah do something. And, well, you know, when he came back to Jordan, Elijah had parted the Jordan before the chariots of fire came and parted them asunder. And the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha. So, Elisha had asked for a double portion anointing. Man of God told him, well, if you see me go, then you'll get it. Well, he saw him go, so he believed he got it. So he took his mantle and he went to Jordan and did exactly what Elijah did before. You know, Elijah had smitten the Jordan with his mantle and caused it to part. They walked across, you know, and the thing closed back again. So, Elisha came back, did exactly the same thing. I mean, you hang out enough around the guy, you know, learn how to do the same things. Pretty much, you know, that's what a disciple is. Jesus called his disciples unto him, began to teach him so that they could do what he did. And he told them in John chapter 12, verse 24, you know, he that believeth on me, the works I do, the same shall he do. I mean, so he's teaching his disciples the whole time to be like him. And he will send them out on exercises to practice. You send them out two by two and different things. Well, you know, go practice what you've learned. You know, how we do practicals. You know, after you've learned some theory, you go practice the thing. You go in the lab and you practice what you've learned. Or you get an assignment. You know, those who are in the medical field, they get, you know, they've done a lot of training. I mean, in the classroom, that they get assigned to someplace to go practice, you know, what they've learned, and so on and so forth. You know, it's the same concept, even in spiritual things. We're learning of God. We go out, we practice what we learn, and we see if we get better at it. So we need to be practicing this nature of God, of speaking things into existence, you know, and see how it works. And you practice it long enough, trust me, it'll begin to work for you. And you'll be surprised. My goodness. So this can actually, I can actually speak these things. Yeah. Did not Jesus say, you know, in Mark 11 and 23, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and, you know, drop off in some yonder sea or someplace else, you know, get away from here and go over there. If you can say it like that and do not doubt it, you know, but believe in your heart that those things you said will come to pass, you have what you say. So Jesus was teaching his disciples that. He's always teaching us that, to use our word, just like God. God called things to existence that were not. And, you know, we can do the same, but we got to practice. We got to practice. You practice, you get closer to him, you practice the nature of God. It is the nature of God to speak things into existence. That's the first thing we saw about God. I mean, Genesis, just started speaking things into existence. That's his nature. So we can, as we closer we get to God, we start to figure out, my goodness, you know, this is how God does things. He speaks things into existence. And so we begin to speak things also. That's why you should never be speaking negative things. Those negative words, they have serious repercussions. So don't just speak positive words. You know, the words of faith, the words that carry life. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says, you know, a man is ensnared, you know, by the words of his own mouth. That are taken at thy words. Your words, you know, they carry, you know, powerful. Especially when you speak his word. You know, it's not just your word anymore when you are speaking his word. It is his word. You're just repeating it. Praise the Lord. But when you repeat it, you got to be, you know, fully sanctified in our, or that word should be fully sanctified in your heart. You know that it is the word of the Lord. You know it's not just some random thing that's just out there. You know this is the word of the Lord. And you know that heaven backs it up. So when you speak it by faith, you live it, just like Jesus spoke to the tree, no man will eat of you anymore. He didn't even look back to see if anything happened to the tree. He just went his way. And the disciples were looking at the tree. Nothing happened. Apparently, you know, it looked like nothing happened. So they were wondering, why is he talking to the tree? In fact, the Bible says that Jesus answered the tree. Yeah. He was talking to the tree. Why is he talking to the tree? And so now the next day, in order for Jesus to complete the lesson, he brought them back the same way so that they will see the tree from yesterday. He brought them back the same way. And then said, Master, the tree which you spoke to yesterday, cursed, I died. And Jesus just said, have faith in God. And he taught them that lesson. Look, this thing that you see happen to the tree, you can do the same thing. You can pluck up this sycamore tree. You can pluck up this mountain. You can do all these things. But you got to do it like God did it. So Jesus did it like God did it. Just speak the word. Speak the word and move on. That's it. The word will sustain itself. You don't need to help the word. Just speak the word. You know, you need to help yourself believe that word. Not the word. The word carries the power to create things. It's already in the word. So the help that we need is helping ourselves to believe that word. You know, don't doubt it. Just believe it. Leave it alone. It will do what it said. So in Isaiah chapter 55, we read, you know, what God said after he said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, as the heaven is, and so forth. He said, you know, my word that goes out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. Now, once it goes out of his mouth, it's going to do the thing whereunto it was sent. And he's going to accomplish that which the Lord pleases. It's a powerful scripture. Everybody should learn this scripture, should read it, and use it. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and does not return back, but watereth the earth and bringeth naked it to bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, even so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. I mean, God likes to use these analogies so that we can visualize what he's saying. Rain falls down, rain doesn't go back up. You know, snow falls down, doesn't go back up. Well, same thing, when my word goes out of my mouth, it's not coming back to me void. Praise the Lord. It shall not return void. Glory to God. But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's it. You may not see it immediately. I mean, it's great if we always saw it immediately. But Jesus didn't see the tree wither away immediately. He knew it would die. And he died at the root. But it took some time to wither up, you know, above the ground. Yeah, and disciples didn't see it either. But Jesus didn't even mind that. He just said it and moved on. Done. Praise the Lord. He knew what he was doing. So he showed it to them the next day, and then he said, ah, you know. So he said, well, you can do the same thing. That's the lesson he was teaching them. You could do the same thing. Speak the word. Don't doubt it. Believe that it will be, and it will be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so it's a simple process, but it's very, very powerful. God used it, called things into existence, and this is what Romans chapter 4 is saying here. Say, God who called things that are not as though they already were. I mean, what are the things that you would like to call into existence in your life? Just say, hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Okay. There's a caveat to that, right? You know, I've always taught people that, look, you can't just say something which is not what is in alignment with God's will. So we know that. So let's make sure we settle that one. Lamentation 3:37, I've quoted it dozens of times on this platform. Who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So we know that. So what you need to do is figure out what God already said. You know, once you figure out what God already said, you say it. It's that simple. I was in a certain place yesterday ministering. And I was teaching them the same thing. I said, you know, and somebody had the microphone next to me interpreting. And I was saying, well, this microphone, you know, that's the way that we should be. Not exactly like the interpreter, but we should be like the microphone. Because the interpreter, he may get it right or not get it right. You know, so, but the microphone only echoes or repeats exactly what the speaker said. You know, just, I mean, all it does is amplify the thing. They got a little light speaker there and they got the microphone in my hand. And as I speak, you know, people hear what I said. It's not, it's not the interpretation of what I said. That's the job of the interpreter. You know, but the microphone is reporting exactly what I said. Exactly. Not, doesn't interpret anything. It just says it. You know, my voice carries through the, the technology, and, you know, it's just like that, you know. Psalm 68 verse 11 says, God gives the word, and great is the company that publishes it. So, are you going to be that part of that company? Just publish the word of God. Find what God has said and say it, you know, and we can, if we can do it consistently enough, we can become just like God. You practice it, you say it, you walk away, and it's a done deal, you know. It doesn't, look, this is what Jesus said. He said, he shall have whatsoever he said. Well, you know, whether it's immediate or not, it doesn't matter. The tree apparently didn't wither away immediately, but it died at the root. And Jesus said it. It took some time before the effect was seen. So, same thing. You know, God uses that technique. And we should learn it from him and do the same thing. So that's what Romans is saying. You know, God calls things that are not as though they are. So we need to do the same things. You know, God quickens the dead. Yeah, the things that are dead are lifeless and everything. It brings life back. In fact, when God engaged Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, you all know the story. You know, God was giving him instruction on what to do. Because, you know, God was also wanted to show him that it is his word. You know, God's word in Ezekiel's mouth. That was going to do the thing. So God told him, Ezekiel 37, you can read the story. We've read it a few times on this platform. God said to him, prophesy upon these dead bones. And he did, as he was told. Yeah. Well, then God said, prophesy to the wind. And he did, as he was told. And he was, you know, everything God told him to do, he did. And that is what created life. It's brought change into the life of those dead bones. Something came alive because he spoke as God instructed him. You know, it was like, I mean, that's like being a microphone. God says it, yeah, you just transmit it. Just like that. Hallelujah. So That's powerful. And back to Romans chapter 4, there's some powerful faith lessons here. And in fact, the subject title of or subtitle of today's lesson is being strong in faith without staggering. And you're going to see it here in a minute. So let me get back to this chapter 4 of Romans. It's a God who raises the dead or quickens the dead and calleth things which be not as though they are. See? That's what we were talking about for the last 10 minutes. Now, Abraham, say, who against hope believed in hope? I mean, it's like you might have thought that his situation was hopeless, but there is never any such thing as hopeless in God's dictionary, especially not for the children of God. People who are hopeless are the ones that have not trusted in Christ. Maybe they are hopeless. I don't know. But if you trust in the Lord, you can never be hopeless. Because, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Keep faith alive through your, you know, believing God for better things. That's hope. Hope is something. You say, what does a man hope for if he already has it? So faith, hope is something you don't have yet. You know, that's a fuel to your faith. But you know you're going to get it. You know, so you transition from just faith, I mean, from hope, you transition to faith. Faith makes it a reality of what you are hoping for. You know, it's the substance of things not yet seen. You know, you may not have seen it yet. You say, well, why are you so sure? Well, because I believe God. That's it. I believe God. Sirs, I believe God. Paul said that in Acts 27. The angel of the Lord stood by me tonight, and I believe God. There will be no life lost, but you got to stay in the ship. I believe God. So you believe God, declare it, and say it. Praise God. You know, Psalm 40 says, you know, I believe, therefore we have spoken. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to say that this thing that Abraham, who, you know, against hope, believed in hope, is so powerful. You know, it goes beyond that, though, because he was almost 100 years old, and his wife also was up there in age. And they didn't have a child, but God said, you're not just going to have one, you're going to have many. So, he says, well, he became the father of many nations by faith. He believed. You know, he wasn't looking at the deadness of his own body, I mean, his age, or the deadness of Sarah's womb, or all of that. He was just believing in God's word. He said, according to that which was spoken to him, so shall thy seed be. So he believed God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. I mean, almost 100 years old. You know, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, I mean, whatever Sarah had going on or not going on, didn't matter. He staggered not. This is where I took the lesson of today's title from, or the title of today's lesson from. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Oh, my goodness. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, and not... And, you know, say now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall also be imputed. If we believe on him, just like Abraham did, you know, that God raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, I wanted to read that to the end, but I'm coming back to this, verses 20 and 21. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God's rumbling. What does it mean to stagger? Well, James talks about it in the first chapter of the book of James when he was talking about in verse 5. and downwards. He was talking about, you know, if any man lack wisdom, etc., you know, let him, you know, ask God that give it liberally and so forth. But he said, let him, in verse 6, he said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, that's the staggering part. You know, it's one day you believe, the other day you're kind of shaky, up and down like that. You know, that's wavering, that's staggering. You stay steadfast. What did Abraham actually do? Well, you know, he took courage. He changed his name. Well, you might say, well, the Lord told him. Well, he didn't have to do it, even though the Lord told him. He believed God. He acted upon it. He changed his name, you know, to a name that actually means father of many nations. And then, you know, can you imagine in his day what that would have looked like, you know? So the way I see it, after that time, if you call him by his old name, he wouldn't answer you. You know, until you call him by his new name. And he went with that testimony for 25 years. You know, I mean, he testified that he was the father of nations even before he had a single child by changing his name to reflect the fact. That's right. Now, that's some faith. Glory to God. You see? And then people around him wondered, why are you calling yourself father of nations when you don't even have a child? I mean, we always knew that you were some kind of a weird person. But this one, look at us, our children, around about us. We don't even call ourselves father of nations. But you don't even have a child. You know, how in the world are you going to be father of nations? Father of nations, my foot. You know, that's how they would mock him in those days. But he was strong in faith. Staggered not. It didn't matter what somebody else was saying. It only mattered what God said and what he believed. That's it. That's what staggering not that anything means. You know, God said it. You believed it. You know, I mean, you know, just dare to believe God. Damn everything else. So just dare to believe God. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Believe God. Go for it. Hallelujah. And God likes that kind of faith. God loved it in Abraham. He called him the father of faith. You know, what? You want to be a child of the father of faith? Well, be like Abraham. You know, believe something from God, even though it might be outlandish, even though it might be crazy. Believe it. Praise God. There's nothing crazy if it was God that said it. It may look crazy to people, but they don't walk in the ways of God, and we're not in God's realm, so we think things God says are crazy. You know, but. But God, once he said it, that's it. You know, now, we need to believe it and say it the same way. Now, if you don't believe it, though, we read it in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. See, what if some did not believe? And we went through that lesson the last time we were here on this chapter also. You know, I mean, this book, Bible study. What if they did not believe? And I gave examples of that. Shall their unbelief make the word of God of no effect? No. But they are the ones that are going to lose out. You know, so God gave us a serious warning. Numbers 14:28. That's another verse we've talked about many times. You know, be careful what you say. Because the Lord said, as you have spoken in my ears, you know, that's what I will do unto you. But I was in the service in a certain place yesterday, and I was teaching the people. I said, well, come out here and say something from your mouth to his ears. Praise the Lord. Powerful service. From your mouth to his ears. What is it that you want him to do? You just say. Say. You know, because that's what he said. He said, you say. And he said, what you say is what I would do. Well, so say. Now, you know, you want God to, you know, bless you and favor you and so on. I mean, you know, people are always asking for those kind of prayers. Huh? I said, well, I'm not going to pray for you. You know, you just say it yourself. But I will believe God with you. Praise God. And I began to see powerful faith rising, you know. Let's teach people a little bit on how, you know, that they can say these things. So just say it like God said it. Don't worry about it. Just say it. You know, and, everybody started stepping out and saying it. Praise God. You know, so Say it. Hallelujah. And don't doubt it once you say it. See, the reason it doesn't happen like that all the time is because after we say it, we doubt it. You know, you may look to others on the outside that you're not doubting, but faith knows. That's right. Now, faith is a reality. Faith is not, you know, abstract. It's a substance. Faith knows that you are believing or doubting. You know, it's not going to work when you doubt. It just doesn't work. There's a key to faith. You know, I mean, you know, it's like these things work together. Faith itself is a key, but there's also a key to faith. The key to faith is not doubt, but, you know, be steadfast and don't stagger in your mind. Don't even let your mind waver. No wavering. So if you either wavereth, it's like a, you know, wave of the sea. You know, it's like a wave of the sea is driven with the wind and is tossed. And he said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't even think it when you are wavering. Just be steadfast. Praise God. No wishy-washy stuff. You know, as I used to say, no yo-yo stuff. You know, stay right there with it. Don't go up and down. Speak the word and stay with it. No matter even if it doesn't look like it. It didn't look like it for Abraham for 25 years. But he stayed with it. He just stayed with it. Now, nobody knew. I'm pretty sure Abraham didn't know it was going to take 25 years. You know, God knew, but he didn't. But he had to keep believing, you know, year after year after year after year. I mean, how in the world, how long are you going to believe? Huh? But he believed. Now, Abraham was not the only person that held on to God like that, you know. Held on to God, you know. Caleb was another man. I mean, when Moses gave him promise that because you sanctify the Lord and believe God, you know, you will inherit the land and so forth. But he did not. For 45 years. Took him 45 years afterward. Well, one day, when Joshua was distributing the land finally, Caleb came out and said, well, you know, it was me and you only that believed, and the others didn't believe anything. And you know what the man of God said to me and you on that day. Therefore, give me this mountain. He said, look, that was 45 years ago. I was 40 then, and I'm 85 now. So it took Caleb, and you thought about Abraham taking 25 years. Well, it took Caleb 45 years. You know, but he hung on to that thing, and he came back to claim it. That's right. Came back to claim it. It took him 45 years. You know, but he came back. And when the day he came, I said, give me this mountain. It's mine. Praise God, because I wholly believe the Lord my God, whereas my brethren did not. I believe God, and you knew it. You were there. You heard the man of God. He said it. And so I claim it. Glory to God. You know, it might take you 25 years, 45 years, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You stay right there with it. There are people in the Word of God that have done these things for our examples. Well, we don't need to wait 25 years anymore, or 45 years. But if it takes that long, so what? You stay right there with it. But I believe by the grace of God, it doesn't take that long anymore. Why? Because God said, finally, in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28, the people of Israel were always saying, look, we are believing God, we are believing God, and all these things are taking forever. You know, forever. The promise of God, I mean, we believe, but we don't see it. So, just like you, they were like that too. You've been believing for something for a long time, you don't see. So the people start to say, well, I don't know. I mean, this promise is like futuristic. We're not getting anything. So God told them, look, enough of that already. You will no more use this proverb in the land of Israel. But from now on, saith the Lord, my word that I speak shall also be done hastily. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. It shall no longer be prolonged. So, you know, it may not take 25 years anymore, 45 years, but it may take. But the Lord said, he will answer you speedily. So, but the thing is, while you're waiting, don't stagger. Don't doubt it. Don't waver. You say, just leave it alone. Praise God. You know, now, when you plant a seed on the ground, or in the ground rather, Jesus was talking about this in Matthew 13. He said, look, there's a lot of things, you know, Mark 4 rather, was talking about the seed that you plant. He said, the kingdom of God is like that. Do you go dig it up after you plant? He said, no. You just go and sleep and you wake up. You don't know what is happening. You know, you can read it in Mark chapter 4, you know, verse 26. Kingdom of God is like a man who should cast seed into the ground. So what does he do? Well, he goes to bed, right? Nice and day. Does he go dig it up after planting it? Go dig up the seed and bring it out of the ground again to see if it's growing? No, nobody in their right mind does that. You know, you just leave it alone. I know when we were little, we were being taught science, we were made to do that. Go dig it out so you can see what the root looks like. But nobody in their right mind does that. You plant the thing, you leave it alone. Well, you might help it a little bit by weeding around it. I mean, get rid of the wind. I mean, weed around it. Give it some water. Give it some sunshine and so forth. But you don't go dig out the thing from the ground. Yeah, let it grow. It's going to grow by itself. Jesus said, well, you don't know how it's going to grow. God put the power of creation in the seed already. It's there. And it's going to grow. And the power to create is already in the Word of God. It's there. The Word of God is the original seed. It's there. It will bring forth. You know, so you speak that word. And remember, what you say in my ears is what I will do unto you. So say it. Say what you want. What is it? You want your children or grandchildren to come unto the Lord or come back from the land of the enemy? Say it. There's a scripture for that. You know, find it in the book of Jeremiah and say it. Find a scripture for whatever it is that you want to say. You know, and just say it. Use the scripture. Repeat his word. Say the thing just like he said it. And stay right there with it. Don't stagger. You know, let's see what the Lord will do when you say it. Praise God. And God is looking for somebody to challenge his word. You know, use that word. Challenge it. Praise God. Listen to this. The Lord said this, you know, that for those who are, I don't know why I suddenly went to children, but for those who are burdened about their children and so forth, they have wandered off on the wrong track and whatever. Jeremiah 31 says this, in verse 16 and 17, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, yes, weeping and weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Your work over these children shall be, it won't be in vain, shall be rewarded. Saith the Lord, they shall come again from the land of the enemy. They are coming. The Lord said it. You know, and there is hope. There's always hope. In thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, that's who he's talking about, thy children shall come again to their own border from the land of the enemy. So you take these scriptures, you begin to say it. My grandson, my granddaughter, my child, my son, whoever, coming from the land of the enemy. Begin to say, praise God. What else can I say? Same thing with healing. I mean, numerous scriptures in the Bible. Same thing with your deliverance. Numerous scriptures in the Bible. Same thing about any good thing that God has promised. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Jeremiah 29:11. All those good thoughts of good and of peace that he has thought about you, and thing that I know and thinking towards you to give you an expected end. Well, begin to say what God is saying. Praise God. And if we can be strong in faith, like Abraham, and not stagger, just believe God, well, he will be imputed to you for righteousness as well. And God will back it up if you're saying what he already said. There's no reason praying long prayers if it's not according to the word of God. That's not going to accomplish anything. But if it's according to the word of God, You say what God already said, and you stay right there with it. Praise God. And it doesn't matter how it looks. It may look like it or may not look like it. Doesn't matter. You say the word. You believe God. You stand there with your heart. And hold on to God's unchanging hands. You know, and you don't give an inch. You stay right there. Praise God. I can't emphasize that enough. That's the main punchline I wanted to bring out of this chapter. That's how Abraham carried out his life. Stayed right there with that word. And there are some of us, God has promised us some things. You know, this same Jesus whom you see being taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner. You know, we've been waiting for this thing. People waited till they are tired and they went away. To your tents, O Israel. Yeah, some people say, well, I don't know. You know, this promise of Jesus returning since the fathers fell asleep, you know, all things continue as they were. They fell away. You know, others wandered around the wilderness. They fell away. Some died in the wilderness, you know, and so on. But some, ha, glory to God. They stay with our word. That's right. He said, the Lord says it's coming. The Lord is coming. I need to get myself ready. Glory to God. He's coming. He said it. You know, you can't give up on the Lord and walk away and expect to get what the Lord promised. He told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem, Luke 24:49, until you be endued with power from high, until you get the promise of the Father, which God promised you. Well, if they had walked away, you know, they wouldn't get it. Just say, wait for it, you know. Believe God. Wait. It's coming. Your God will come and he will save you. God always saves the day. You always have one more move. You'll save the day. No matter what, no matter how it looks, you hold on to the word of God. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren. Abraham, whom we look on to, the Bible says, you know, remember the rock from when you were hewn. Remember the hole from which you were dug out. Remember Abraham, your father. Well, you say your children are Abraham. I believe the Lord. Like he did. Praise God. And don't stagger at his promise. Now, one day, you get a chance to meet Abraham. When you meet Abraham, you're not going to need any introduction. When you meet any of these people, you just know them instantly. I mean, Matthew 17, they saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. I mean, Jesus they knew. They never saw Moses before. Neither did they see Elijah. And they knew them instantly. You know, so you will know them when you see them. See Abraham, ask him questions. Praise God. You can tell him your own stories too. He wants to hear, you know, how you did it. You know how he did his own. Well, he wants to hear how you did yours. Praise God. It's a lot of stories to tell when we all meet. It's going to be wonderful. We'll have all eternity to tell all these stories. With so many people tell all their stories. Hallelujah. Wonderful. And nobody's going to be tired. You're going to not going to need to sleep. So you're not going to be hungry. Hear all these stories. It'll be wonderful. One after another. How they overcame. Glory to God. You know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Use that word of your testimony to overcome during the process. That's right. Overcome the staggering. Overcome the wavering. Stay right there and overcome. Ha! Glory to God. Testify to the thing before you even see it. I will be the father of nations. Even when you don't have a child, you say it. You change your name. You carry it around. You carry it around. You're calling yourself father of nations. I mean, that's like crazy faith. You know? Crazy faith. You know? The man dared to believe God and God honored it. Praise God. So that's our lesson today. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to wrap it up here. We'll proceed on to the remaining chapters as we go along. You know, occasionally, these chapters will go back and forth on this subject of grace and how sin came to the world and so on. But then he will drop something that's powerful as well, you know, just like the one we just did. And, you know, and we'll try to take our time to call out the various things that we see in these chapters. Praise the Lord. I hope today's was a blessing unto you. I'm going to pray over the room and turn it over for reactions. I am done with today's lesson. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you that you've given us examples, these examples in the Bible. God himself being number one. We saw how he did it. We saw how Jesus did it. And then we saw Abraham, you know, how he did it. Staggered on. He believed God. Lord, we pray that you help us not to stagger, but that we should be fully persuaded that God who promised is able to keep his promise. Hallelujah. Lord, as you, you know, open our eyes to see and understand these things, help us to practice the nature of God. Speak the word only. Practice the nature of God. Speak the word only. Hallelujah. Speak things into existence, just like God did. Thank you, Lord. Show us more and more this truth. Help us, Lord, as we learn more and more, as we get closer in intimacy with you. We know that these things will rub off on us. We give you the glory and the praise for this lesson. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.